One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, we discuss them, we share our little feelings, and then we make those characters fight for our, and hopefully your, amusement. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, as some whiskey and Ken Knapsack.
Glad to be here. We have recovered from that amazing, wonderful 50th episode of Databank Brawl.
Was truly epic in scope, length, glory, shame, everything, in every way. That was such a fun episode to record.
Absolutely.
So for this one, I kind of wanted to bring us back down, not to Earth, because Earth isn't in Star Wars, but wanted to...
Yet.
Oh, please. Never. I don't know. That might break me. There's no Earth in Star Wars.
The Yuuzhan Vong are on Earth, right?
They're there with the Battlestar Galactica people who actually started... Nope, we're going to stay positive here today, folks. Strange little dip into madness there for a second, but we're going to get back to Databank Brawl. So this is just a straight up... For our big 50th, we had a mini tournament, and this is just straight up two characters. Two very different characters, which is often the magic of Databank Brawl. We are going to start with a character that you will, of course, look up, but you also don't need to, because this character is
all good.
Very close to your heart. Mm. I know this character to be close to Ken's heart.
I've already fought Admiral Raddus 3 times, Joseph.
Yes, you have. In this character, we'll see where he lands on your Raddus scale, is how much you like him. But our first combatant is Moff Gergerod.
Oh, yo, wow.
Here is what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Moff Gergerod, a chilly technocrat. Mm-hmm. Tion Gergerod was responsible for overseeing construction of the second Death Star above the forest moon of Endor. The task was difficult, to say the least. Gergerod desperately needed more time and more resources. What he got instead was a visit from Darth Vader. And that's it. That's all that the StarWars.com databank has to say. As always, one of the reasons we do databank brawl is to see what is actually written about them in their short, pithy little entrances on StarWars.com mm-hmm. databank, and to see how much sort of value judgments there are.
Yeah.
And this is chilly. Chilly seems a chilly technocrat. Mm-hmm. Chilly seems unfair.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to that. We go into the wilds of Wikipedia as well to see what additional info Ken can find there, get some physical description, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. He comes in at 1.73 meters tall. He's a human male. His homeworld planet is Tennal 4, the much talked about and very popular Tennal 4, where he's part of that wealthy family that probably helped him get a head start and a leg up in the grand, the Empire. But his, not canon, his grandfather was a Republic like general.
Right? Oh.
His name was Admiral Republic Admiral Gergerod. And that also means he would have a name. I'm curious now. I'm going to find out his
what his first name is.
It just says
was he Tion Senior? Too. Senior?
Yeah, the internet's not helping me. anyways, back to Moff Gergerod. His appearance is that crisp, classic Imperial officer outfit.
Yeah.
Hat, sharp. He's got the little what is that in the center of the Imperial officer's hat? The little metal pin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some bling, right?
Bling.
Some flair from office space.
He, stern face, dark colorings, the hair color, dark brown, eye color, green. He is, he looks serious, pensive, little. I've always considered him to be, at times, a little overwhelmed, it would appear.
Yeah.
But I always took that because Vader and Emperor Palpatine were there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Is there a quote for him?
Well, they have the quotes that you expect from Return of the Jedi. Lord Vader, this is unexpected pleasure. We are honored by your presence. And I've talked about this quote, but I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, please do.
It's from the Return of the Jedi novel, when Moff Gergerod is walking towards the hangar bay to greet Vader. You're getting insight into his character, and he walked with purpose, and his monologue is saying he's not rushing because he believed he was always where he wanted to be.
Oh, wow, he's pretty zen for an Imperial. Yes,
never rushed, and then his thought was, and it was one of my favorite quotes, is great men never hurry. Great men cause others to hurry.
Oh.
And I just loved that early on when I read that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I took to that. And there's just something, I can't explain it. Radis, I can explain.
Yeah.
Other characters I can explain. I just have always liked Moff Gergerod because he just seemed, it seemed like he was a guy just doing his job in a way.
Yeah.
His job was to build this Death Star. And we have to imagine the construction of the second Death Star maybe began, we might learn that it began, you know, along the same time of the first Death Star. Maybe they're like, towards the end, we're like, all right, I think this is going to work. Let's order another one.
We need a pair. We need a Krennic, his and hers Death Star.
Krennic, are you sure this is going to work? Let's start building this.
Yeah.
You know, like otherwise they doubled their efforts.
Yeah.
And if I was Gergerod, I would, if it's true that they started the second Death Star construction after the first one.
Yeah.
And Vader was complaining and the Emperor was complaining, I'd say, I'd like to point out, I've nearly completed this one in about 2 years. It took you guys 19 years to build the other one.
Where the hell is my grand?
Yeah. I want a cape.
I'm just Moff Gergerod, no cape. Yeah. No, I want to talk about this character emotionally because I think he is really unique in the Imperials, because I think at the beginning of the Jedi, he is a part of two factors that are going on. Mm-hmm, one is the general softening of Vader and underplaying the villainy of the other Imperials so right. you can up the villainy of the Emperor himself.
Right.
And because of both those things, he comes off much more nuanced than our other random Imperials. Like, we love Ozzel, we love Piet, and we can kind of guess behind the mask, but he shows so many things. He shows that efficiency. He shows that, like, I'm an important man of the Empire.
Right.
But then he's like, I've really given some thought to how to break bad news to Vader. And the way he's got that, like,
yeah.
I'm not complaining. This is just the truth. I am willing to look at many options, Lord Vader. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
I need more men.
Yeah. It's just facts.
Yeah, it's just
logics,
facts. But with, like,
logistics.
Fear and respect.
Yeah.
All boiled in there.
He was an engineering student.
Yeah.
That's where he made his way in the universe.
Yeah.
And now he's in charge of this death machine.
And he's always redoubling his efforts. Yeah, 19 years to 3 years.
That's more than doubling our efforts, Palpatine.
He quintupled. Quintupled. Yeah. I'm quintupling of my whiskey. He quintupled his efforts at least to begin with to get this far along.
And some great behind the scenes stuff. There's some great deleted scenes you can find them online of him trying to hold Vader back from going to see the Emperor with some royal guards, and Vader starts choking him a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we all like choking. And then there was this underlying plot that was cut out of the movie where if things went awry, Emperor Palpatine was like, you know, turn this thing on the moon of Endor itself and just take out everything. And Gerard didn't really want to do that, you know, because his buddies are probably down there. My buddy Steve is on down there. He's leading Tempest Force.
Right. He's a good Imperial officer. Yeah. Like, those are my people.
Exactly. So they do have some moments where he follows his duty. He's
but
a good.
He doubts it.
Doubts it. There's some hesitation. And I'm reading this. I don't know how. I've never seen this before. This could be a Wilds of Wikipedia fact here,
right,
Joseph. During the film's early development, late English actor Alan Rickman auditioned for Jar Jar's role.
What?
I'm going to check on the link on that. I'm going to see. I don't know. It's on the internet. It must be true.
By the hammer of Grothal. You need more men.
Anyways, I could talk for 20 more minutes about Jar Jar Binks.
And there's going to be plenty of opportunity. This might be the first time where you and I have just kind of straight up disagreed with what StarWars.com databank says. To call him Chili. I don't know if Chili is the right practical, pragmatic.
Well, unfair.
Anyway, so our next character is a more experimental character.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very interesting for us to portray this character because our second combatant is another denizen of a Death Star, the Dianoga. Here's what StarWars.com databank has to say about the Dianoga. I'm going to warn you right now, his entry is significantly longer than Jar Jar's. Just cruel.
Outrageous, sir.
After Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Chewbacca rescued Princess Leia from her cell on the Death Star, they sought safety in one of the battle station's trash compactors. Mm-hmm. It was a perilous refuge. The garbage masher was home to a tentacled carnivore known as a Dianoga. The slimy monster poked an eye stalk above the surface of the garbage to see what had invaded its abode and then attacked, dragging Luke under the surface to drown him so he could become a meal later. Fortunately for Luke, the Dianoga let go of him and disappeared. Unfortunately for all of the rebel heroes, the creature fled because it sensed the walls were about to move, crushing anything in their path. A lot of information in there, really, about the Dianoga.
You're a monster.
Much like the Dianoga. I always thought it was one big, long, snaky guy.
No, it looks like a Rathtar and an octopus.
Wow.
Yeah. If you go on if you're looking on Wikipedia, my flash isn't working on the computer. Oh, boy, I'm having a life. I'm telling you, I'm having a life this week, Joseph. If you click it, they have some concepts or some stuff there. Look at that. That's
very
Rathtar-like. Got that.
Yeah, that's a H.P. Lovecraft monster.
Yeah. It looks like you're going to roll some 20s to save yourself from this
absolutely.
Thing here.
You lost some sanity just looking at that guy. For sure. So that's great. That's great confirmation that this beast is so much more than I ever thought it was. That is a carnivore. It was saving Luke for later. That's great to know. What does Wikipedia have to say about the Dianoga? Do we have a height?
we have non-sentient cephalopod, average height 10 meters.
Non-sentient?
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
average
philosophical question at best.
Average length 7 meters. Distinctions: 7 suckered tentacles.
Seven suckered tentacles for 7 brothers.
And from homeworld of Vodran. So you know you can't be that non-sentient if you have a home world.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, going into Dr. Steve Brule.
doesn't make sense.
Totally has thoughts. I like this last entry. It's on the canon tab, Joseph.
Okay.
Experienced chefs could make grilled dianoga into a tasty breakfast dish. But overcooking it would activate the blood parasites in the fatty tissue, destroying the flavor.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So, Dexter Jester, watch it. If you're going to serve it in the diner, you got to cook that dianoga right. Yes. How do you feel about the dianoga? You have any feelings to speak of?
I do have a lot of feelings. You know, as a kid, I scare easily.
Okay.
I don't watch a lot of horror movies. And so I got to say, as a young boy, little Kenny Knapsack watching Star Wars after he had seen Jedi. Jedi is the first one I really saw. I mean, well, New Hope was, but I was one year old. Didn't remember it, obviously. So the Rancor monster terrified me.
Okay.
The Wampa showing up out of nowhere.
Wampa's the scariest thing when you're a kid.
Killing the Tauntaun, which to me, I'm like, that's a large dog you can ride, right? and then the Dianoga. Pulling Luke underneath wasn't the problem so much. It was when that little head popped up. I was like,
it's the conjunctivitis, right? It's the red eye, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So, then it becomes one of those characters we talk a lot about on Data Bank where it's like, it's fun to know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
The trash compactor. Oh, you mean the Dianoga.
You mean the Dianoga to so many people. Yes. Before, you know, I found my way here to Force Center and I could talk about the Dianoga all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I love the Dianoga. He's no gender, but like we have talked in recent times about how much Star Wars, especially the original trilogy, does follow all of these myths, all of these other things that George Lucas liked, but it's always got all of these just weird things of like, why? Why is that creature in there?
Yeah.
Did the Empire put it in there?
Yeah.
Is it going to eat Luke? Why? You know, obviously we know why it let Luke go, but it's good to know here that it was saving him for later.
Right.
That was its meal.
That's, and looking at it, I've never really stopped. I've seen what it looks like in general, but I've never really stopped to see that mouth in the center. It's very Rathdar-like.
Yeah.
Maybe they're cousins.
Oh, maybe. All right. So is there any other information? No quotes for the Dianoga, I imagine. The Dianoga is a silent killer.
Let me check the Legends tab. Maybe there's a Dianoga quote. No, we're good.
No individual name for this specific Dianoga in Legends?
That we know of.
Not yet, but there will be. All right. With that, we shall fight. Now,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
As always, we have to decide where this happens. And I admit, I have a thought.
Okay, go with your thought. Run with it.
I can see a thought in your the balloon forming above your head.
I had a couple different options, but I want to see where you go.
My thought is that this is on the second Death Star.
Okay.
And that, who knows how the Dianoga ended up on the first Death Star. Maybe we can discuss.
Right.
But maybe that is now a requirement that Death Stars need Dianogas.
They just show up.
Maybe they show up.
We don't know.
Yeah. But it seems to me that there's some kismet here.
Mm-hmm.
We have the person in charge of the second Death Star.
Yeah.
And a denizen of the first Death Star.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Is that what you were thinking?
I was thinking that. Okay. I was like, sometimes the most obvious answer is the answer. I also was thinking maybe in some alternate universe, Gerard gets to an escape pod because he's just not happy with what's going on. And ends up on, Endor on the swampy side on the other side. But you know what? I like simple.
Yeah, well, let's start on the Death Star and see where we end up.
See where we end up.
Yeah, because I suspect that escape pods should really be involved in a lot more of our fights.
They should.
But this is pretty disgusting. Okay, so I have pulled up the actual photo of the Dianoga.
Right, for inspiration.
Ooh, boy. Nasty. All right, so Gerard, where do you think this? When do you think this is happening? Is this before Vader's visit?
I think. You know, maybe we're gonna combine some things here, Joseph. Okay. Some thoughts. I think during the height of the Battle of Endor,
ooh,
as war raging all around, Moff Gerard, Tien Gerard, has a crisis of consciousness.
Yeah,
and. Conscious or consciousness?
I thought you meant that he knocked himself out.
That's what I...
He has a crisis of conscience.
Conscience.
Right.
But the whiskey and adult root beer I'm having is giving me a crisis of consciousness.
Indeed. And we're both sentient beings, just like the Diet Nugget.
I'm not so sure anymore. So he has a crisis.
Okay.
Of his heart. All right. And morality. And he is not happy that Palpatine has said, you know, hey... I got Galeas Rax taking my, you know, everyone's going to meet up on Jakku and we're going to go to the unknown regions. But meantime, you're going to destroy the moon of Endor.
Yeah.
And Gerard's like, I ain't having this.
Yeah, no, I don't want
to. So he starts to escape.
Okay.
He starts to run. But there's explosions going all around. He swears when he passes a hangar, there's like what looks like someone putting Darth Vader onto... like a shuttle, or he's talking to him down there. There's some stuff. He doesn't know what's going on.
Okay, so there's some urgency here. The Death Star is shaking.
There's some shaking. It may be, you know, I think this is that time. This is a tough. It had to take Luke a little while to drag Vader down to the hangar.
Absolutely.
Number one, he had to maybe find it.
Yeah.
Look up a map. You are here.
Okay, so this isn't necessarily Vader is not down at the...
Yeah. I rephrase that. Maybe as Gerard's running, he passes and he's like, who's that?
The elevator opens to the spire, right?
Yes.
And there's Luke and Vader getting off. He's like, was that rebel helping Vader? Anyway.
Is that the rebel scum?
I got my own issues.
Yeah. I'm out of here.
I'm out.
So he's running, and at one point, he's disoriented, he's lost, there's explosions, things are rattling, and he takes a wrong turn and just jumps and he ends up in a trash compactor.
Okay, so you think that...
Not the chute, like Han, Leia, and Chewie and everyone went down, but like the door. You know, the door they walk...
the proper door.
The proper door.
The actual door.
It was open, it was malfunctioning.
Yeah. Okay.
He takes a wrong turn.
We get to answer a question of Star Wars, a true question of Star Wars at this point, is how is all of that trash generated by the station? What is in this trash compactor on the Death Star 2 as it's shaking, as it's exploding? Is it full? Has it been emptied recently? Does it empty itself by just... Well, I guess it smashes the trash. That's the whole point. It compacts it, and then, I don't know, they probably feed it to stormtroopers. Whatever's in there. So, but there's certainly understandable that there's equipment. Like if a little part of the Death Star fell off, if a hydro spanner breaks, you throw your broken hydro spanner and it goes into the trash.
Right.
But the fluid, is that just waste? All these years have already... Did Luke disappear into Imperial poo?
I don't think so.
Okay.
As we've learned later on with Finn, even the First Order, it took... all their direction from the Empire. I think they realized they needed sanitation troopers.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a separate
Okay, so that's a
hallway.
That's like beverages. So yeah. The fluid is
oil, maybe.
Oil, beverages. Know, okay, yeah.
Lubricants and stuff like that.
Maybe the Emperor had some stuff repainted and decided, I want that color.
Yeah.
Put it in the trash compactor.
Yeah. Paint it another shade of red. Do it.
Only black and red. No teal tin.
No teal tin. So yeah, I think that's what it is. So I think there's some parts in there. It's piled up.
So he gets confused. He opens the door to the trash compactor, thinking he is heading.
Maybe it's I think I was thinking maybe the door's open and he's just running.
Oh no, I like this. The door got blasted open.
Yeah, and he's like, and he like lands in
and there. he hits the edge of it and he falls in, splash in the ambiguous but not bodily fluid.
Right.
Okay. And now I think he is a student of the first Death Star. I think he knows everything about the first Death Star.
Yeah.
I think he knows that somehow a creature from a far away planet ended up in the trash compactor and that they had worked hard. They don't know how this happened.
Right. Right.
This is a very technical, you know, non-organic station. And somehow this horrific monster ended up there. And I think they really tried. They had Dianoga watchers just like, make sure it doesn't come slithering off the ship from somewhere.
But he's aware. Checks.
I think he's almost got like a little paranoia about it. Like that's a horrible thing to hear.
He knows. Like I see he's on like you know, like much like with Luke, the water wasn't too deep.
No.
So it's similar. So I think he's up to his elbows, he's on his knees, he's kinda like on all fours but in this disgusting water.
Yeah.
And he kinda looks up and he's like, "Oh, Tien, you've done it again."
Yeah.
"What have you done to yourself? Get a hold of yourself. What's going on?" He looks at this is not good. I got to get out of here.
Right.
So that's when he starts to stand up and the water stirs next to him.
The water stirs. Yeah. And I think he whirls around in almost like a horror movie. He turns towards the frightening thing, the water moving, and then wham.
Yeah.
The door slams shut. The Death Star has been shaken again.
Yeah.
And the door slams shut.
Yeah.
Then he turns back to the door and he wrestles with it and it's not coming open.
Rushes up to it, kicks it a little bit.
And he knows that it's blaster proof, just in case.
Yes. And I don't even know if he has a blaster on that belt.
Oh, probably not.
No. I can't really remember.
There might be one somewhere in this junk.
Yeah.
So then he knows that he needs to get out of there.
First he's going to see if maybe he can call for help, but there's no on the first Death Star, there was no intercoms.
No.
Second Death Star, in his infinite wisdom, Moff, T, and Gerard had them install intercoms.
Yeah, he studied the reports. They got the reports off the first Death Star before it blew, and like, hey, by the way, sometimes people hang out
sometimes
there.
People are in there. So he calls. He just can't get anybody.
Right, because everybody's busy.
Yeah.
Dying.
Or leaving their posts. You know?
I think he starts to... so he tries to call the proper departments, and no one's answering. And that is when suddenly... as he's poking at the door, he hangs his head in frustration.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we know that he is not just a chilly technocrat, he is an emotional imperial.
Yeah.
And so I think he has a sigh, like a just, this ain't my day kind of sigh.
Yeah. Moff T and Gerard's very good, no bad day. Very bad, no good day.
He gathers himself.
Yeah.
And then when he looks up back at the comm, there's a tentacle on it now. Yeah, from somewhere.
Yeah,
there's a tentacle
up there, slapping up there.
And the nightmares he heard about from your backs. He's like, it's true.
Yeah.
Every time I hear about a bad thing, it's true.
It's true.
Everybody told me, hey, when you meet Vader, he's really scary.
Yeah.
Hey, when you meet Palpatine, even more scary.
Yeah.
And hey, if you ever go into a trash compactor, there's going to be a Dianoga. They just like trash.
Yeah. Beware the Dianoga was actually later on in the galaxy a nursery rhyme that parents would tell their children.
The Dianoga are just incredibly clever creatures.
Right.
Who love trash.
Yep.
They are the gross Oscar the Grouch of Star Wars. They effing love trash. So this tentacle slaps up.
Yeah.
And now, do you think that Gerard, how much of a man of action is he? I mean, your quote you shared with me from the Return of the Jedi novelization suggests he's a man of action. So does he fight? Does he try to command the Dianoga? What does he do?
Gerard looks deep into his soul and says, I'm exactly where I want to be. And I need to remember that. Or else I'm not going to get out and get to somewhere else that I want to be.
Right.
So there is a moment as he looks over and the tentacle's holding the intercom. He slowly turns around to see what he's facing.
Yeah.
He doesn't really see anything but a body kind of emerging from the water and this one tentacle. And then that's when the second tentacle comes out and just slaps his hat off.
Oh. Ah. It just smacks his hat off.
Yeah. Proving.
Wow.
Already this being might be more sentient than people.
Yeah.
Give it credit.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think this being is aware of what it is. It's cognizant of its own existence and therefore its wants, its questions. Why do I exist, says the Dianoga. What is my place? Why am I so attracted to trash? There are plenty of other places with trash.
Yeah.
Why do I have to be on floating death balls?
Why am I here?
Why am I here?
What is this?
And I think maybe even this Dianoga has gone on a journey of self-discovery and knows that this is the guy in charge of him. This is the guy who feeds the trash and then every once in a while tries to kill him by smashing the trash. But I think the Dianoga is doesn't have a skeleton.
Yeah.
So it can get squished and then unsquished.
Yeah.
But it's still unpleasant. And he knows this is the guy who does that to him.
Right.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason. So I think he wants to understand and he wants to hurt him.
Yeah.
First,
definitely.
Before he can understand.
Definitely.
So I think he is going to push Gerard to his limits. He wants Gerard to strike first.
Yeah.
So I think now he basically he slapped the hat off.
Yeah.
Gerard is still being cool about it.
Right.
Now he does just a little light slap across the face, almost like an old dueling challenge. Like a little tentacle, just the tip of it. Right.
Does that.
He does that.
Mm-hmm.
Gerard, I think, is still frozen in terror.
Yeah.
And then I think the Dianoga does his kind of scary Halloween trick where he disappears for a
second.
And then Gerard just stalks down.
I mean, as you can hear the dogs in the background are reacting to the story as
It's a good story.
Yeah. I think, so then he pulls him underneath, right? We're on the same page there?
Yeah.
Disappears. Yeah. Tentacle comes up. Now, Gerard knows it's coming, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, he has to. He has to. He is a tactician as well. He knows the tactics of fear.
I think that's what much like a crocodile or an alligator, whichever one spins, you guys tell me.
Oh, yeah. That's not in Star Wars, so I don't know
I don't know it. Or much like a ferret used to slowly arch its back before it pounced on me when my ex-girlfriend and I had ferrets. Gerard knows this silence is, he knows what's coming.
The silence of death, yes.
So right before that one tentacle comes up and wraps around Gerard's leg, he grabs a discarded piece of a staff.
Ooh.
Like an Emperor's Royal Guard trained too hard.
A force pike that's been broken.
Force pike type of thing, maybe. And he's pulled underneath, but he has this weapon.
Right. Okay. And he jabs like he has never jabbed before.
Right.
He's all organized, calm, and cool as he goes down, and then he totally flips out with the jabbing.
Powerful, uncontrolled thrusting like he's a high schooler losing his virginity. It's messy. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Okay, so there are screams from the Dianoga.
Oh, this is for the first time in canon. We've established screams.
I think the Dianoga bursts its mouth above the water level so its screams can be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, ah!
Ah! Right.
It's really, really upset. It's not happy. And in doing this, it thinks it's just expressing itself. But this is the first time Gerard sees the mouth. of
Dianoga. Until this moment, he wasn't sure how it ate.
No, and the mouth is arguably crotch position? It's central part of the body?
It's central part. Central region.
Where the torso should be, the torso and crotch should be. It's just kind of
giant, Raftar-like mouth.
Yeah, all tentacles lead to mouth.
I think that's a Carole King song.
And I think Joe Girard sees an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think he grabs an even bigger piece of junk. Okay. I think maybe like a discarded stormtrooper armor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A piece of armor, like chest plate. And I think he jams it into the Dianoga's mouth.
Wow.
To try to choke the Dianoga.
Right.
What do you think happens next?
I think, well, much like when Luke does that to the Rancor.
Oh, yeah.
The Dianoga, not happy, releases Ger Jerard and kind of jerks back. And, he can't bite it and destroy it like the Rancor. But he's slapping at it with his tentacles.
In the meantime, he's trying to get it out.
Jerard is crawling up the trash, trying to find a way out.
Okay, yeah. He's resourceful.
Why this is happening? Wow, this is happening. You there is a sudden lurch. The compactor doors are shutting.
Oh no, they're compacting.
They're timed.
Yeah.
It doesn't know that there's Y wings and X wings and A wings and B wings attacking it.
No, it's just time to compact.
That Lando's flying in the core right now. They don't know this. So the doors are compacting.
Okay. And I think at this point, Ger Jerard realizes I have two options. I can try to climb up to the higher level and see if there's some sort of a way to blast open an exit at the top.
Right.
Or to get to the chute, basically. Or I can try one more time to reach someone. So I think what he does is a daring move. He has been well trained in the Empire.
Right.
He's lost his hat. But he still
which
has.
He was very proud of. It was very well kept hat.
Really on point. But he still has a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he pulls off one of his waterlogged shoes. And I think just in great accuracy, better than the stormtroopers, he throws it across the room and turns the intercom on again.
Mm.
And I believe he starts screaming. I think he hit the button to be broadcasting over the entire Death Star.
Right.
And I believe he starts screaming. Okay. What does he say?
He says, "This is Moff Ger Jerard. I am in the trash compactor. 717128, please get me out of here. Someone, anyone that's listening, I command you to stay at your post and get me out."
Okay, and this is in the background as Luke and Anakin are connecting.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is someone who hears it.
Ooh.
He is on his way down and out of the Death Star as well. He senses things aren't going well. It's a man named Janus Grijadis.
Oh, yeah.
One of the Imperial dignitaries.
Yes.
He just happens to hear this. He doesn't quite know what to do. So he clicks on the intercom. He's like, "Hello? Who is this? This is Moff Ger Jerard. I am in trash compactor 7127118, whatever the number I said. I need to get out of here. How do I do that?" So now Gerard's going to try to explain to him over the intercom.
Okay, and he's all the way across the room now. The Dianoga is between him and the intercom. He just threw his shoe, so he's shouting.
He's shouting loud.
It's Tinny.
Yeah.
Grijadis is barely understanding what's being said to him.
Right.
But he is shouting for help. Like, "Will you come to this exact door, this exact aisle, do this hallway, and hit this button?"
Right.
And do we think that Grijadis does this?
He starts to.
Okay.
And then he's having trouble. And then along comes Simalu, who's like, "We need to go."
Okay.
All right. Tashu is already on his way to Jakku. All right. He's going back there. We need to get out of here.
We need to get out of here.
Sheev has died.
Yeah. I saw some blue energy.
Right. And Janus is like, I was in the cafeteria. What happened? Sheev has died. We need to go.
Blue energy shot out of a bunch of holes in the center of the Death Star.
The kid's got Vader. He's down the hallway somewhere. What's going on here? I think it's that Ger Jerard man. He seems to be taking the trash out and ordering me to get him out of the room.
I think at this point, Ger Jerard is angry. He's never got the mystical BS that Palpatine gets up to. He takes off his other shoe. He throws it and turns off the intercom. And he realizes he's a master tactician. Mm-hmm. And at this point, he realizes something's wrong. There's bits and pieces. He can hear his space station falling apart.
Right.
He's heard now that the Emperor is dead.
He
has confirmation. And he realizes that he only has one hope, one ally.
Yeah.
And that is the Dianoga itself.
Yes.
So I think he dives down.
Oh, wow.
And I think he bravely tries to negotiate with this creature that he doesn't know if it's sentient or not. And I think he dropped down and I think he says, I believe I have heard you have an eye. Do you have an eye? I believe the eye stalk pops up.
Pops up.
Yeah. And I think he grabs the back of the eye stalk.
Oh, wow.
Not in a torturing way, but in a cupping way. Like, you know, when you grab your friend's head because they're too drunk and they're going to wall a little bit.
Yeah. Me at the end of this episode.
You grab them. I'm like, no, but this is serious.
Mm-hmm,
and I think Gerard knows that he must summon all of the command, the power that he has in him to get through to this creature of you might be able to withstand the compacting, but this whole station is going to blow up, and even you can't handle that. And the only way we're going to get out of this is together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else does he say? That's what he communicates, but
he pleads to this eye stalk. How do you get in here? Because that's our only way out.
Yes, yes. And he says, "Oh, go for it."
No, I think there's a pause.
Okay.
And the Dianoga blinks, and then suddenly goes and heads off under the water. Gerard freezes again, but then the eye pops back up again, and it kind of does over here.
Okay,
over here. So Gerard follows, and then they both submerge under the water.
Okay.
To a vent that's down below.
Okay, it's a vent. All right, I like this.
Yeah, like a filter, maybe more is the correct term, like in your swimming pool.
Yeah, I like this. And I think, as it turns out, they swim through this, we realize that there is an entry point to one of the many shuttle bays.
Yeah.
And this is the shuttle bay where food is brought on board.
Gotcha.
And Gerard has the epiphany that there is someone who has been smuggling exotic foodstuffs onto the Death Star. And that apparently this person thought that they would be able to cook the Dianoga.
Right.
But no, it gets out and it slithers up there. And goes home to the trash compactor where it likes to be.
Right.
And Gerard being so sharp, he puts all this together just knowing, that asshole Doc's here.
Yep.
He always brings in the exotic food. He, if he wasn't already going to die, I'd kill him, says Gerard to himself. And now I think this is the point where we need to pause in our story and determine who should win. Because it is still Databank Brawl. There wasn't a lot of brawling in this one. There was a lot of more trying to...
Sometimes the stories take you where they're supposed to go, Joseph.
Figure out who they want to be. These characters are really... This is about fighting themselves, really.
Right.
But who, in a legitimate fight, do you think would win? And who do you want to win our story?
I think in a legitimate fight, the Dianoga would win.
It's just got too many tentacles.
It's got too many advantages, including environmental.
Yeah.
But I believe Moff Gerard has earned this victory and perhaps earned his escape.
So you feel okay.
Stuck.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you this, and to those listening, we definitely don't plan these because this fight did not go where I thought it was going to go.
No, me neither.
No, it did not. I thought a more definitive winner was going to be.
I thought that would be clear too. Yeah. We broke some canon, I guess. Yeah, because I guess the Dianoga on the original Death Star does leave when the walls are closing, but our Dianoga is spineless and can withstand it. So it's an evolved Dianoga.
Right.
But here's what I think happens.
Yeah.
In the spirit of what you were saying right away.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this, I think they get to a shuttle.
Yeah.
I think they get to a ship.
Yeah.
And I think at first, Gerard can't even get on, and the Dianoga uses its tentacles to actually pry open
right
the shuttle so he can actually get on. Now, at this point, It's all sorts of weird mismatched couples getting off the Death Star together.
Yeah.
It's Vader and Luke. It's Jir Jarad and Dianoga. Who knows who else is going off together?
Yeah.
We'll discover in other episodes of Data Bank Brawl. Yeah.
There's a Gonk Droid and Simulu.
I think they take off together, and I think they both know once they get off, though, one of the other is going to kill.
Yeah.
Is going to kill. So as that space shuttle launches away, the second Death Star, built in record time thanks to Moff Jir Jarad, his hopes and his dreams are exploding behind him. He's on a ship with a Dianoga.
Yeah.
What's going to happen next, Ken?
They start heading towards Endor.
Okay.
The Death Star explodes. So there's a lot of distractions going on.
For sure.
A lot of Ewoks dancing, celebrating, songs being sung. Inferno Squad is trying to figure out how to get out of there.
Sinjar Wrath of Alice is
Sinjar Wrath
down on the planet.
Is having a crisis of morality himself there. Galeas Rax is somewhere on Jakku going, the we've got to enact our plan. The Emperor's plan, the Emperor's contingency plan. So all that's going on. I think Jir Jarad goes down to Endor, tries to get away from it all. The Dianoga is just kind of sitting there confused.
On the ship.
It doesn't know what's going on.
There's no trash here.
No trash. They land. They get out of the shuttle. Dianoga kind of looking for water. They stare at each other. And that's when I think the Dianoga tries to attack him again.
Yeah.
Because it is like that scorpion riding a frog. It's going to sting you because that's what I do. I'm a scorpion. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how canon breaking this is. This is might be the whiskey talking. But I think that the Dianoga grabs Jir Jarad, wraps all of his limbs, their eyes, two of Jir Jarad's and the one of Dianoga's meat.
Yeah.
And Jir Jarad knows this is the end. I just hope that he eats me quickly. He is being dragged to his death.
Yeah.
When the non-canon creature known as Teek shows up. And Teek from the Ewok specials.
Yes.
Intervenes.
Mm-hmm.
Cuts off a few tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
And saves Jir Jarad.
Yep.
And they both run away into the forest, into mystery.
Yeah.
As the Dianoga screams in pain and rage.
Yeah.
The pain and rage of his tentacles being cut off, its tentacles being cut off, and also the pain and rage of existential dread. Because the Dianoga is sentient.
That's right. And dies a slow death. Teek takes Jir Jarad, runs into Noah, Wilford Brimley's character. And from there, we don't know.
We don't know. It's a mystery.
We don't know.
Everything else we already said, we know.
Yeah. The Dianoga.
That happened.
Yeah. The Dianoga slowly dies, but is found later by an Ewok foraging group and is then cooked and served to a group of celebrating rebels the next day for breakfast when Wedge, Lando, Han, Leia, Luke all wake up hungover from their celebration.
And they eat delicious Dianoga,
correctly
prepared.
Yes.
By an Ewok. Well, that is our story. What a beautiful, strange story, as always. Ken, where can people find you on all the social media?
You can find me at Ken Knapsack.
Excellent. You can follow all Ken's adventures. He does a lot of great stuff. He's got the Knapsack Files. He's on Collider Video, so go find him. If there are characters that you want to see fight, you can send us tweets and Facebooks and whatnot. Use the hashtag DataBankBrawl. You can suggest matchups. We really like it when you just say, hey, we really want to see this character. And we got some more characters that a lot of people have requested that will be coming up soon here on DataBankBrawl. We also have our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/ForceCenter. We are building to a new goal. Our new goal is to have custom theme music for our show. It will be really cool. It will match the moods of the show. You guys have been really supportive of our Patreon so far, so go check that out. You can find me on all the social medias at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter is at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said, well, no one was really listening. I care. That's it for Databank Brawl.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.